In 1965, a block of land in western France was set aside for a new airport, which was to provide an international gateway to the area. Earlier this year, the airport development was cancelled. The decades-long struggle to defend the land has become an enormous story. John Jordan, originally from England, has lived in France for many years. He's been involved in the defence of this land for 6 years and living on site for two. The site is called ZAD, Z-A-D. When I spoke to John, I began by asking him to describe what the ZAD is.
Basically, the ZAD is a ZAD. It's been recuperated from the kind of technical term, which meant a zone for further development, later development, and it became ZAD, Zone à défendre, the zone to defend. Basically, we're on a piece of land. It's about 4,000 acres, which was for an airport project. It was an airport project that had been fought against initially by local farmers. In 2009, the ZAD took another form, and the, that was in a way where the name Zone à défendre became used, because there was an invitation from local people to come and inhabit the territory. They always said, you cannot defend a territory unless you inhabit it. And they wrote this letter, and the letter was then read out during a climate camp. Climate camp was a tactic that had been inspired by the UK climate camps and so on. And the first French climate camp took place on the ZAD and brought a kind of systemic anti-capitalist, horizontal, a mixture of, you know, people who would call themselves anarchists, but also people who are involved in anarchism but don't necessarily wave the big black flag and are involved in horizontal processes. People also would call themselves libertarian communists. A whole range of people, people who wouldn't label themselves at all with such labels, came to the climate camp, and then a whole bunch stayed. And from that moment on, the ZAD became this territory defend, and the slogan against the airport and its world became used. And that really meant that we're not just against the airport, but we're against everything that the airport embodies. So we're against all forms of domination, forms of the destruction of our forms of life. The airport also is about taking back nourishing farmland into concrete and so on. All those things got added to the struggle. And what was key to the struggle was to say that we're not just saying no. We're not just against the airport and its world, but we're also saying yes. We're also involved in a creative process of actually creating some kind of alternatives to capitalism and to the world's domination. So over the 8 years that the ZAD has existed, there's now 70, I mean, I speak now before the eviction, but before the eviction there were 70 living places, about 300 people living here with breweries, farms, rap studios, pirate radios, weekly newspaper, bread making, flour mill, cheese making. We even have our rebel camembert. And so a whole experiment in the commons, in commoning, in how do you run this land together through assemblies without bosses, without chiefs, etc. And we did that for many years. In 2012, the police came to evict to build the airport. It was massively resisted by a huge diversity of people, and that was very, very key. What happened in 2012 is suddenly the movement expanded, and it became this composition between radical farmers, eco-activists, unionists, local pensioners, local villagers, really incredible mixture of people who came using a diversity of tactics, not judging anyone's tactics. So there was people blocking the roads with tractors, there was people throwing Molotov cocktails, there were people in the trees, there were people naked in the fields, there were people with barricades, there was every form of tactic, and we pushed them off in 2012. And 40,000 people came back to rebuild some of the 12 farmhouses that they had destroyed at that time. What happened in January 2018 is the Prime Minister cancelled the airport project. So the 50-year struggle was won. But in the same breath, he also said, we're going to evict the ZAD. Of course they want to evict the ZAD, because every government cannot bear, the governments can deal with kind of Marxists and people who say, you know, we're going to create a new party, we're going to take over the government, we're going to take over power. But they can't deal with people who say, actually, what you're doing is absolutely ridiculous and useless, and we can do without you. We can be ungovernable. We don't need you. And no government can have an example of what Chomsky would call the good example. They have to destroy that. So even though the fact that we saved this landscape, which is incredible, 4,000 acres of wetland and forest and farmland, we saved it from concrete, and we had always said in a document that was produced by the movement that it was up to us via an assembly to keep looking after this land after the airport was cancelled. And we wrote that document 2 years before the airport was cancelled, because we're very involved in this idea of prefigurative politics, where you try and prefigure what's going to happen before it happens. And in that document, we clearly said, we're going to have this assembly, we're going to run it as a commons. And despite all this, the government basically said, we're going to evict, and they began a process of actually divide and conquer. So dividing the movement between the legals and the illegals, the so-called radicals and the not radicals, which is an absolute fantasy and doesn't exist on the zone at all. But they used that. And on the 9th of April, they came in with the biggest police operation since May 68, 2,500 riot police, well, the gendarmes who are part of the military, four armored personnel carriers, drones, helicopters, 200 video cameras, and started what they called was a targeted eviction, targeting the so-called radicals. In that process, they destroyed 30 cabins. There was like 5 days of very, very strong fighting. And then the government said, okay, we're going to stop the expulsion. We're then just going to deal with public order and clearing the roads, which they've done since then. And then they pushed us. We'd already entered into a negotiation since the airport was cancelled with the government. That was a decision by the movement as a whole to enter negotiations, because we didn't want to just see this territory completely evacuated and destroyed. We, of course, put the negotiations on hold when they came and evicted. And then they said, okay, we're not going to evict any more spaces. We'll keep a police presence. We're going to relaunch negotiations. We refused for a few days, but then the Prime Minister went back on television and said that actually now they decided to evict the entire ZAD, so it would take everything. And at that point, we were pushed into a corner, and the movement decided to play their game of bureaucracy. Basically, they want to, you know, destroy us not only with their weapons of their tear gas and their concussion grenades and their tanks, but also via kind of the violence of bureaucracy to kind of try and legalize everything. And so we had a choice. Either we just ignore that and just would have to be faced just a fight on the territory, which we didn't think we'd ever win, or we had to go and play a kind of game and fill in some of these forms. And they wanted everyone to fill in individual land right forms. And we said, no, we're not going to do this. We're going to do this as a commons. So we've been kind of playing this game of hacking the forms, sending them back, showing that we're going to negotiate, showing that we you know, we want to stay, and we have the right to look after the blockage that we say.
Not everybody has to obey. Not everybody has to be Turk. Not everybody has to obey.
All together?
Yep.
All together.
All together.
Subversion.
1, 3, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 2, 1, 3, 1, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2
The Final Straw is a weekly anarchist radio show. It's fucking awesome, and you're never going to hear me say fucking awesome on our show because we're FCC regulated.
There's a black part of my heart that just flutters when you talk like that.
Talk, then more yelling.
It's a weird sort of like nice thing in a way, but also can get kind of crushing at times.
TheFinalStrawRadio.noblogs.org.
We work in affinity groups, work with it's French culture, so it's very different from the Anglo-Saxon, you know, very clear, formalized affinity group, spokes councils, good facilitation, good process, and so on. French radical culture is not like that. It's much more, and there's attempts to kind of make it more formal, more formalized. But we have a whole series of assemblies. We have the Assembly of the Inhabitants, which is the 300 of us who live on the land. We have the, and of course, not 300 people go. It's always, you know, it's never 300 people. Very, very, very 300 people. It can be everything, anything from 30 to 100 people who attend regularly. We then have the Assembly of the Movement, which brings together the farmers, the locals, even elected officials who are against the airport. So that was the Assembly of the Movement against the airport, and that's where we were organizing actions, all of them direct actions and all of them illegal forms of action against the airport. And then there's now the new assembly, which is the Assembly of Users, which brings everyone who uses the land in some way. So lots of farmers from who don't actually live on the land but live nearby, who've been part of the struggle, people who live on the zone, and so on. And those are the three kind of forms of organization that we build the ZAD with, and those are all in spaces which are to some extent horizontal. Of course, you know, the culture here is very, the process is very different from Anglo-Saxon culture, and I think a lot of people in from Australia who'd come, I mean, I know we had a comrade from Australia who came and lived on the ZAD for a bit, and she was totally shocked by the process because it's very French.
You mentioned respect for diversity of tactics. Has there been any tension with that, then, perhaps from outsiders?
No, I mean, it's really, I mean, I think even during these evictions, there were some incredible moments. You know, there was one moment where they were trying to take a farm, this beautiful farm that's been built, called the Vrai Rouge, which has a, it's a beautiful cabin with this beautiful garden and two cabins, in fact, really amazing space, where and they tried to, they at one point you had, you know, local farmers and activists with their bodies against the barricade, using mirrors and so on against the police. You had a huge APC armored personnel carrier pushing the barricade, and then loads of gas. I mean, they fired 11,000 gas canisters within 5 days, and explosive grenades that injured 270 people. I mean, it really was the biggest police operation since May 68, and it was extraordinary. But during that moment, where you had these bodies doing more passive forms of resistance, and then you had the tank coming, and then you had a huge black bloc coming out of the forest with Molotov cocktails and pushing the tank back. And really, the way these two tactics work together is quite extraordinary on the zone. I've never, 25 years I've been involved in direct action movements, and I've never really seen diversity of tactics work as well as it has on the ZAD. And that's partly because there's this huge respect for different kinds of tactics. I mean, of course, there are people at the moment, and it's not a lot of people, who refuse the negotiations, who think that it's, you know, that we should never work with a state, and that we can just hold a barricade and we can fight against the police and keep the zone, and who are against the tactic of negotiating and filling in the forms and so on. But it's a fairly small group of people, and the movement as a whole is very clear that, you know, we can't hold this territory. I mean, we just can't hold this territory without some form of negotiation. And if we want to keep what's powerful here and all the links we've made with us, with the land, with the species who live on the land, with the people who live nearby, and we want to keep that force and all the material force we have that can be an incredible tool for revolutionary practices, from the, you know, from the dairy to the woodworking workshop, to the pirate radio, to the farms. And we're regularly doing work where we take food to pickets and help unionists in their struggle by supplying material base stuff. If we want to keep that, then we have to have some form of negotiation. Otherwise, they'll just come in and we'll just be dispersed all over the country, and we'll lose the force that this zone had for 8 years and the aura that it will always keep.
You mentioned, because it's the anniversary of the 1968, how do you think that the anniversary, because I know around France, like in Paris, there's being actions as well. Do you think that what's happening at the ZAD is related to other things in France?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the ZAD is a massive story in France. I mean, it's the biggest political victory since a generation. You know, to fight against a multinational airport, you know, an airport that was going to be built by the world's biggest multinational construction company, Vinci, and to lose, you know, we lost every legal case. We lost 178 legal cases. We lost a local referendum, and still we said, we're going to fight this thing, we're going to fight this thing. So it was the biggest victory for a whole generation. It was on the front pages of newspapers over 8 years on a regular basis. It's become a kind of beacon of struggle in France. So there's very few struggles that, you know, there's no one in France who's on the, you know, on the broad left radical movements who won't see the ZAD as a key thing to keep and to hold, and especially in this anniversary of May 68, where Macron wants to kind of, you know, celebrate the kind of liberalness that came out of that. In a way, I think it's going to be much harder for him to celebrate now that people have been pretty shocked by the biggest police operation since 68 taking place on this territory, to basically destroy people's farms, destroy people who are trying to live in a way that is close to nature, that doesn't produce, you know, that's not ecologically and socially damaging.
What do you think is going to happen in the future now, from now?
We have no idea. As I speak, there's another negotiation going on with in the prefecture, the head of the state locally. We have 11 people who go to negotiate, so from every different part of the composition. So there's farmers, there's people from the ZAD, there's people from naturalist NGOs and so on. So 11 of them go and talk to the state. They're having that negotiation, another negotiation, as we speak. The government has said that if we have to have regularized all our projects as farmers by the 14th of May, and we've been saying, well, we'll regularize the projects, but we're not all farmers. The ZAD is not just an agricultural land. It's also got a library. It's also got a lighthouse. It's also got, you know, art and culture. It's you can't have just farm culture. You can't have agriculture without culture. So we've been, you know, putting in cultural projects as well as agricultural, which every time they're ignoring. But we're still pushing this triple kind of front in a way. One of the fronts is building defense on the land, barricades and defending places here. One of the fronts is the kind of paper barricade of bureaucracy, and the other front is the storytelling narrative, the communication, using the press, using social media and so on. And we've been pretty good at all three, and all three, I personally think that we need all three, and of course there's always people who think that you could just need the barricade, and in many ways that's given us a certain strength. We don't know what will happen on the 14th of May. We imagine they'll probably come and take a few more other, what they've said is they will take the illegals, but of course we're all illegal, we're all squatters on this zone. Even the historic farmers were squatters just up to last week when they signed a precarious convention for the four farms that are the historic farmers, the farmers who were here even before the ZAD was here. And so we'll see. I mean, and everyone has said we will defend everyone, you know, even those who have filled in the project will defend those who have refused.
Check out Subversion 1312 online, autonomousactionradio.com, facebook.com/subanarchyshow.
Anarchy_show on Twitter. and on the 4ZZZ website, 4ZZZFM.org.au.